You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Hey, it's Brother One.
And Brother Two.
From Two Brothers Mattress. You'll spend 33% of this year on your mattress. That's almost 3,000 hours. Start sleeping comfortably now on a new Tempur-Pedic mattress.
Visit one of our five stores or twobrothersmattress.com.
With our lowest price guarantee
and our 100-night trial,
your locally owned Two Brothers mattress is your number one choice for Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Visit one of our five stores or twobrothersmattress.com.
Twobrothersmattress.com.
And now,
it's 10 a.m.
Let's just get down to it.
And it's time for your sports fix.
Strap yourselves in, folks.
From two guys who have covered the teams you're passionate about for years.
We are professionals.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jacob Ed, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, Jake Scott, Ben Anderson. Man, today's already a roller coaster. It's like the roller coaster of emotions around here. Maybe it's just me. I'm in there like screaming life takes at Sarah. She's grumpy because she had to work with Patrick Kinahan this morning.
Yeah, pulling a double.
It's going to be one of those days. I'm pretty excited about it. Can be an emotional roller coaster on the show. That's my tease.
For any specific reason, or just because you're bringing home to work with you?
No, that's just the energy I'm
bringing. Okay. We're not expecting something.
No.
You're emotional.
I'm just there.
Okay.
You know, we were having a conversation somewhat about mental health, and its import with David before coming on. And I feel like this is the way that I'm going to deal with my mental health today.
Okay.
By just unleashing it.
Glad I'm here for you.
On a radio show. And of course, I'm joking.
Yeah.
I'm in a good spot. How are you? What's going on?
I'm doing well. Watched some great basketball last night. Had a good morning. Yeah, things are fine. A little tired this morning, but.
But you're wearing a denim jacket? You're in that kind of frame of mind today?
Yes, I am.
What's that? Yo, a Dodgers shirt? Ugh.
It's
boo.
It's a Hideo Nomo shirt.
It's not a Dodgers shirt. It's a Dodgers shirt. That's not Hideo Nomo on the Mets, bro. That's a Dodgers shirt.
What team do you root for again? I'm confused.
The team that's currently, I think, 3-21 in baseball, or 3-18 in baseball. You win one game every series in baseball because you have a pitcher or you have a hitter. Or the other team doesn't have a pitcher that they're rolling out there because it's their fourth guy, or they're doing that weird fake starter thing that they do now. The White Sox have 3 wins on the season. It started a month ago.
Yeah, that's not good.
The Jazz have won more games since the baseball season started.
Would you hold it against all Utahns if while walking down the street today, somebody yells, "You don't live in LA, dude!"
Did you see that the anniversary of that game of me getting heckled was Sunday?
No.
Yep. We went out on the Jake and Ben Twitter account that it was the 12-year anniversary of me getting heckled.
Of you getting heckled at the Rays game.
The Rays-Twins game.
Because you were wearing a White Sox hat.
Because the White Sox had thrown a no-hitter against Detroit.
When they weren't playing.
Or a perfect game.
In the game that you're attending.
Correct. Yep. That's exactly right.
And now Ben has held it against all Floridians. Ever since. He didn't like Sarah at first because of it.
Yeah. I'm still trying to find the person who did it.
You seem all right.
Until I can rule out where you were on April 21st, 2012, and I know you were in Florida, until I could figure out exactly what you were doing, there's a chance you wronged me. Oh, by the way, it was against the, looks like it was against the Mariners? It was against the Mariners.
But now I'm just disappointed in you personally that you're wearing a Dodgers shirt. Who are you, PK? Are you a fan of every team in Major League Baseball?
I like the shirt. I like that it has a picture of Hideo Nomo on it, and it says Tornado. And he's got his weird, wonky wind-up.
Hideo Nomo might be the ultimate example of something that I think baseball is particularly notorious for, but you can apply it to basketball too. When something unique hits the scene, unless you got something else, the league will figure it out. He had, like, he was great as a rookie,
mm-hmm.
and the league figured it out. Had this weird wind-up in delivery, whatever, and he was an average pitcher for the rest of his career.
He was a mid-level, let alone career, but a okay pitcher.
But he was a phenom at the beginning. Everybody's like, oh, look at this. This guy's going to change the league or whatever. And you can actually look into his stats. I did this a long time ago. You can look into his stats that by the second time it started happening, the second time he played the league. Like, you could see it deteriorate where they just – people need to get a look at it. And, you know, it's really an interesting thing. But he was he was a good pitcher. He was fine. I think he threw a perfect game at one point.
Two no-hitters.
Or was it two no-hitters?
Two no-hitters, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, he was definitely a Major League Baseball, like, rotational player.
Yeah, but not a star. And that first year that you talked about where he became the Tornado and had the huge Japanese backing. And then, remember, Nike launched a whole campaign around shoes for him? So he had a thing. You know, they bought in quick.
Whereas Shohei is obviously a baller. He's not somebody who came from a foreign league with a wacky gimmick.
Right.
That was going to kind of trick everybody for 10 minutes. He's like, no, I'm
just the best player
I'm
on the
seriously,
planet.
Like, really good at this.
Yeah.
Want a pet about it?
Yeah. So, anyway, I like the shirt. I like Hideo.
Man, you know what? If I ever turn to a life of crime, I'm absolutely getting an interpreter.
Okay. Yeah. It makes total sense.
Because that guy is going down.
Yeah.
Not me. Oh, man, I'm just strolling through life over here. I don't even understand what people are saying.
To tell you.
It's that dude right there. Be like Rafael Palmeiro in front of Congress. Do you remember that?
Don't point your finger at Congress, Rafael Palmeiro, and then get caught.
I had heard at the time, what a random place to start the show, but I had heard at the time, you know, what, dozens if not hundreds of interviews with Rafael Palmeiro, and his English was terrific.
Yeah, of course.
Terrific. And then he gets in front of Congress and he's like, I'm.
It's hard for me.
I don't know. I don't speak. I don't know. Did I tell you? Oh, this is a good story. I once went skiing with my buddy growing up, Reza.
Mm-hmm.
Reza, his dad was from Iran.
Mm-hmm.
His dad spoke great English. Mm-hmm. I mean, really smart guy, smart family. So we're going up. It's snowing. We're at the mouth of Big Cottonwood Canyon, and the person checking for snow tires and chains comes over, and he says, "You don't have snow tires or chains, and this isn't a 4-wheel drive." And Reza's dad goes completely like snow tire,
leans
like
into it.
Completely like just goes no, and the guy finally got so frustrated. He's like, just go forward and turn around, okay? And he's like, all right. Zoo. Like right up the canyon.
Well, it's a tool.
Language
is a tool, and the lack of language can be a
tool. Right.
Also.
So I'm going to, in life of crime, I'm going to move to a foreign country, get a translator, and absolutely play dumb on the language for the whole time. I think
do.
It works.
Do whatever you want to do.
You've seen those theories out there, though, that like Shohei's English is impeccable.
100%.
Like, absolutely doesn't need a translator.
Yeah. Just hiding behind. Yeah. Good for him.
And how many NBA players come in from foreign countries and have to tackle English and don't use a translator and do just fine?
Just fine. Yeah. I mean, he's been around it long enough that I'm sure his English is much better
than
he shares.
I'm pretty sure Andrei Kirilenko came to the country knowing very little English because his English got much better. But I don't know. I'm trying to remember if he ever had an interpreter. He might have at the beginning. I'm trying to remember.
I don't remember early in his career, no.
I don't think so. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I've told you. It's still there for Lowry. It's not like a drawback for Lowry, but there are moments where he's like, he makes you re-ask a question.
It's his second language.
If you use an idiom or, you know,
right,
something that does not translate literally, he needs a little bit of an explainer. So, but yeah, it makes sense.
And by the way,
I think it's impeccable. I think it's amazing that all these athletes do this.
Oh, I think it's incredible.
I can't believe they do it.
I happen to know in Japan, too, they teach English in all of their schools at a very young age.
I'll be curious. I don't know what the language barrier is in hockey. I'll be curious what that is locally. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of French-speaking Canadians, but I imagine all the French-speaking Canadians also speak English. And then there are a lot of people coming from overseas, a lot of Europeans.
A lot of Eastern Europeans.
Yeah.
Where's Jaromír Jágr from? The Czech Republic, I believe.
Is he?
Because I'm trying to think of the hockey teams that always are good in the Olympics, right? The Czechs win a lot. The Russians win a lot, obviously. And then the Canucks and the Americans.
Yeah.
All right, Ben, where do you want to...
He's Czech. Well, we've
where
got
should
a,
we start today?
We've got a handful of options.
We do have a handful of options. It's a good news day today.
We had great NBA games last night, but we can save that. We can dive into Zach Wilson going to the Broncos, which I think was a perfect storm for a lot of people locally.
Did he tweet out, let's ride?
No, he did not. But maybe the only team that local fans would have liked to have seen him go to more was the 49ers. It's just where the other alliance seems most closely aligned.
Well, let's start here, because I think that I think this is really an interesting topic. I don't know if he could have gotten traded to a better situation.
Okay.
And this is coming from somebody who's not a fan of the Donks. Sean Payton has made a living out of salvaging quarterbacks. You're looking funny. Tell me why.
Do you have a long history of these guys? Do we have names of who these guys are? With all due respect, I'm not trying to put you on the spot.
Well, I mean, you could look at the Teddy Bridgewaters of the world, and you could look at the Jameis Winstons of the world.
Okay,
and
Jameis had somebody, one good year. You're
even
right.
Somebody like Taysom Hill.
You're right.
But
he figured out a way to use Taysom.
You really don't need to go past anyone else than Drew Brees.
Well, I mean, in a lot of these situations, I want to make sure that we credit these superstar players for being superstar players.
Fine.
You know, Quinn Snyder got a lot of love for how good Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell were.
I agree with
you. It's like, you know what? Those guys are pretty good ball players wherever they're playing.
You, Brees, go throw that touchdown. Yeah, I got it. But remind me where Drew started his career.
Chargers?
The Chargers.
Yeah.
They did. And they moved off him because?
Old 10 kids.
Old 10 kids was coming into the league. Yeah. And they looked at Drew Brees. And they thought, why do I always forget his name? He was only in the league for like a million years. Philip Rivers. They looked at old Phil coming out of NC State. By the way, Riley Jensen was on this morning. He was Philip Rivers, one of his coaches at NC State, which is a pretty cool connection. But anyway, old 10 kids coming out of college. The Chargers had Brees for 2 years, I want to say. We could look that up in his stats. And they said, and they invested a second round pick in him too. And they said, sorry, Drew, you're not good enough, bro. We're moving off you. Moving on out. Goes to New Orleans, goes to the Hall of Fame, or is going to go to the Hall of Fame. And Sean Payton took a chance on a retread quarterback, and it really paid off for him.
Yeah.
And then did it again to a lesser extent with a number of different players. But the guy has a history of saying, okay, well, you didn't get anything out of him.
Maybe I can.
Maybe I can. And actually is one of the few coaches that can back that up.
Absolutely. He has I don't want to call it a track record. Because, Jameis had a crazy year in New Orleans one time. And you're right, Teddy had some bounce back. But the big one there is Drew Brees. I am curious about Drew Brees' stats. And you know what? His second season was better than anything Zach Wilson had done.
I'm not saying that Drew's start in the with the Chargers was.
He played 5 years there.
He played 5 years
way
there.
Way longer than I'd remember.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, and he wasn't terrible. And his fourth season there
was
really good.
Yeah.
But the Chargers moved off him.
They just felt like they weren't going to get over the hump with him. And you know what? Ironically, he got over the hump and Phil Rivers did not.
Never did. They were wrong, Ben. Yeah. And you know what? Don't believe anything you see with the Jets in the quarterback situation. And I'm not saying that Zach Wilson is going to come in lighten up the league. I have no idea, honestly. But I don't think he could have landed at a better place for that reason. This coach sees things that other coaches do not and then has a history of helping players who a lot of people gave up on.
I know there will be some fans who turn the radio station off after I say this. Russell Wilson was not as bad last year as I think a lot of people think he was.
He wasn't. He was better actually, than he was the year before.
He's actually very good.
No, the problem with Rusty is his personality.
And his contract is so enormous that you can't justify paying him that much.
Right.
You're better to have him go away, take that dead cap, get hurt that way, and start over. He had 26 touchdowns and 8 interceptions last year. It's like he was not the only problem in Denver.
No, Rusty's problem was Sean Payton's first thing he did when he got the job was fire Jake Heaps and kick Rusty out of his office and say, no, you're not that anymore. You're a member of the team. And Rusty didn't like it. And Rusty actually probably didn't like it that he was succeeding under Sean Payton, because then he has to go and say, oh, okay, well, this is good for me, which it was, to your point.
His 26 touchdowns and 8 interceptions were an improvement over his 16 touchdown, 11 interception performance under Nathaniel Hackett 2 years prior. And we're back to very similar to the numbers he had when he was in Seattle, even though he was aging. And again, the problem is he's 35 and going to be turning 36 and he's undersized. And the year before that, he held onto the ball far too long, which, by the way, was also a problem in Seattle. He has always done that.
He has always done that.
He did lead the league in fourth quarter comebacks last year.
His coach in Denver was, his first year was?
Nate Hackett.
Old Nate.
Big Nate Hackett,
Nate. Zach Wilson's offensive coordinator with the Jets was?
Cool bro, Nate Hackett.
Old Nate.
Yeah, a genius.
And actually, those two traded barbs. You remember that? When Peyton basically called Hackett a brainless moron.
I don't know how anyone could mess this up this badly.
And Aaron Rodgers responded, and there was that whole thing. I would love it. Love it if this were some sort of personal beef.
I still think they're going to draft a quarterback because they have tried to address their quarterback situation a lot. I still think the Broncos are going to draft one coming up this weekend, and it's going to be a real push to how quickly can we replace Zach Wilson.
Maybe,
with all due respect.
But why not? Because Denver's paying Rusty they're in salary cap hell for two, three years. And so they're not going to win. It's not going to matter. You might as well draft a quarterback. Who cares? But talking about Zach, I bet they'll put him in a position to succeed, more so than with the Jets. And then maybe he is like a Teddy Bridgewater, who it didn't work out in Carolina, but he signed a really nice contract in Carolina.
Do you believe, this is a crazy question, do you believe in like cursed franchises?
No.
Because you just look at the Jets, and I tweeted out last night, like the way the 76ers lost the game, it's just like there was just a curse on your team. To blow a 5-point lead in 20 seconds in the end of a playoff game is so bizarre. And I just like, does just getting away from the Jets save Zach Wilson's career? Because as you said, the one place you didn't want Zach Wilson to land going into the draft was the Jets. And everyone knew that, right? Yeah. Everybody knows that. Don't go there. That's
going
a cursed
to fail.
Zone. Something about it is toxic. You're not going to have success there. So there is something in the sense that, no, is it cursed? No. Is there some voodoo? No, of course not. But there is something that is off, and it's hard to fix the temperature, whatever it is. And when guys leave, they seem to be okay. Whatever it is, it doesn't work there.
So what do those two franchises have in common? The Jets and the Sixers.
What do you see?
Awful ownership that trickles down to an awful front office, which trickles down to losing habits.
It's pretty amazing how consistently that's just the only answer.
It's so true. And you know what? Sometimes awful ownership wins once every blue moon.
Looking at the Chiefs right now.
But for the most part, like, you would have to be a brainless moron to own a franchise, an NFL franchise in New York City, and lose that much.
Yes.
Honestly.
Oh, it's the amazing thing about the Chicago teams bringing this full circle to my White Sox, that the Bulls are okay going 38 and 44 every year because Jerry Reinsdorf just wants to make the play-in tournament, and that's fine for him, and they don't make trades, they don't shake anything up. You're in Chicago. It's one of the great towns. It's got a great basketball history. It's a great basketball town. It's a great sports town. And yeah, you can't win there at all. You can't do anything there. It's bad ownership.
And you know what? The Sixers are good, but I would predict they don't get over the hump with Joel Embiid because of that ownership.
I think that's fair.
And like, I still think it's hilarious that people think the process worked just because it produced Joel Embiid.
Joel Embiid, right.
They were the worst franchise in the history of basketball for half a decade.
Mm-hmm. Over and over and over. This last 25 games we watched the Jazz, 28 games we watched the Jazz, where Jazz fans were pulling their hair out, writing editorials about how you got, how this is, you're going to lose your fandom.
It was that way for
5 years.
At least.
Five straight seasons. Going 3-22 every 25 game stretch.
That'd be like if you had a sliver, Ben, and you decided to lop off your finger. And then you said, celebrate me. The sliver is gone. I would look at you and I'd say, I don't know, there might have been a better way to do that.
Well, imagine
that
if I laid
been a bit extreme. But it was that ownership that did that.
Yeah, rubber stamp.
That did that. Yeah. And then when it was about to turn the corner, they fired the GM that they empowered to do that.
Can you imagine if I had said, all right, Jazz fans, here's the plan right now. This is what I'm hearing. So my sources are telling me. It's Tuesday, April 23rd. But that doesn't matter. It's that the year is 2024. And in 2029, I think we're going to get this thing off the ground.
We'll have a player.
I'm being told that the Jazz think that they will have an MVP caliber player 5 years from now. But the next five seasons are going to be 11 to 15 wins every single season.
Historically bad. And by the way,
we figured it out, the process.
We're going to boot most of the draft picks. I mean, just completely punt them into the river.
Markel, Jaleel.
Even trade up to punt one at number one. And then to add, this may be the most egregious part with Philadelphia. And I'm excited. We're going to talk playoffs coming up next. They had the perfect running mate.
They had the guy.
For Philadelphia, or for Joel Embiid. Yep. They had the guy on their roster. He wanted to stay. And they looked at Jimmy Butler and they said, I don't think.
We got Toby Harris, pal. Hit the road.
I don't think it's it. But wait, you spend a bunch of assets to acquire me, and now you're just going to let me walk out the door for nothing?
You're right, pal. You got that right.
You got that right?
Pack your bags.
Can you imagine?
I heard Miami's nice this time of year. Yeah, it is. It's always nice. This is going to work out really well for me.
And then, so to answer your question and bring this full circle, do I think Philadelphia is cursed? No. No. Do I think the Jets are cursed? No. I think they're absolutely inept from the top down.
Tobias Harris, 10 points last night.
Great game, yeah. Toby! Woo!
Big game from Tobias
Harris. Top three stories are next! 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
It's time to break down the biggest stories of the day. This is the top three stories of the day on KSLSports.com. On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. If you're listening, whoa.
Sing it back, whoa. Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Jake Scott, Ben Anderson, thank you very much for making us a part of your day. Want to remind you about the Hercules Hero of the Week. Nominate the sports volunteer you know for the Hercules Hero of the Week. Submit your nomination at kslsports.com/contest. And listen every Thursday afternoon to JJ and Alex for the winner. Help us celebrate the efforts of those volunteers making an impact with Hercules Hero of the Week, sponsored by Hercules Credit Union. Lots of news today, so let's dive right in. Time for the top three stories of the day, kslsports.com. Sarah, where are we starting today?
Number one, last night's NBA playoff games did not disappoint.
Two great games. The third game, the early game, the NBA TV game with Cavs and Magic was not great. 96-86, Cavs take a 2-0 lead.
Shame on me for thinking that Orlando was going to be able to make a basket.
We will see. Yeah, that's the problem. I mean, when they go home, maybe the Cavs don't travel well. Cavs are playing pretty well. Donovan's playing well.
Because they haven't scored 100 points yet in the series.
No, and that's like what Orlando's going to do.
Our defensive prediction was 100% correct. My miscalculation was that they actually are capable of putting the ball in the basket sometimes.
And I was more worried about Donovan's health than is showing through these first two games. He is looking healthy, and he had not looked healthy for the last 2 months of the season. But yes, Orlando simply can't score, but those were not the games. The Philadelphia 76ers...
22 shots to get 23 points?
No, he's not great. Again, that's what... Now, he had 30 in game one, so he's playing better. We will see if that travels. I think that is the big question. I still think that's going to be a longer series. I don't think they're going to get swept, but Orlando's inability to shoot is horrendous. And they've got to address that this offseason. Knicks, with 30 seconds to go, here, I'll pull up the box score exactly, are trailing with 47 seconds left after a Kyle Lowry free throw. They're trailing 101-96. Jalen Brunson hits a three. I think it was his first three of the game. He had shot very poorly.
Because he was terrible.
He had been really bad all game. Apparently, something you've said, it's really hard to win with tiny guards in the NBA, no matter how good you are in the regular season. It's really hard to win at the next level with a tiny guard. Hits a three with 27 seconds left, 109-100. Immediately, the 76ers should have called a timeout. Nick Nurse says he did. You can look at the video. He did not. He kind of was doing the half, like, my hand's up, my hand's not up.
What a coward.
Kyle Lowry throws a terrible pass to Tyrese Maxey as he's spinning. The ball pops up in the air. Tyrese Maxey catches it, falls to the ground. Again, no timeout. Nick Nurse is kind of thinking about calling it. Tyrese Maxey throws a terrible pass. Hart steals it, gives it to DiVincenzo, misses the three. Isaiah Hartenstein, rebound. OG Anunoby back to Hartenstein, or excuse me, back to DiVincenzo. Hits the three, and in a matter of, 27 seconds to 13 seconds. So in 14 seconds, the Knicks score 6 points to erase a 5-point deficit and end up winning the game 104-101. Unbelievable game.
Well, it's pretty hard to win a game, Ben, when you're punching yourself right in the face and your coach is on the sidelines paralyzed with fear. It's really hard to win when you're doing such things. And can I ask you this? Because NBA pundits, and I'm going to pick on David because I listen to David. I listen to his opinions.
David Locke.
And consider them with great weight because David's smart and he knows what he's talking about most of the time. But it doesn't mean I agree with him all the time. But he's been telling me forever that Nick Nurse is a great coach. Is that true?
Well, he looked really good when he had Kawhi Leonard.
And by the way, a team that had been to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah.
Let's not forget that. That you took a team that had been in the Eastern Conference Finals who had the coach of the year. Remember they fired the coach of the year, Dwayne Casey, right?
Yep.
Sent out a tweet, congratulations, Coach Casey, on your coach of the year after he was fired.
After he was gone, yep.
You plug in Nick Nurse. You get him Kawhi Leonard.
You have Kyle Lowry, who's one of the smarter basketball players on the planet.
And Fred VanVleet, who wasn't getting paid anything at the time and who was punching above his weight big time and coming off the bench.
Pascal's still very good. Yeah, that was a really good roster.
I'm not saying the guy is not, like, a good coach, but I've been told he's a great coach for a while now. The Raptors moved off him, and Philadelphia couldn't wait to sign him, even though you and I both heard rumors that he wasn't the most popular
person. Yeah.
And then to just freeze like that is crazy.
It was weird. It was
crazy to not know what to do.
Remember Mike Budenholzer did it last year. Now the theory was that it was because his brother had recently died in a car accident, which is very possible.
Right.
That makes more sense than Nick Nurse just being like, I'm not ready to put my hands together for the timeout when immediately you know you got to call the timeout. Like,
got
you have to call the timeout.
The only way you lose the game is by not calling a timeout.
It's not getting the ball inbounded. The only way you can lose that game is not getting the ball inbounded. And they didn't get the ball in.
But coaches are scared of criticism. He's scared of, if he calls the timeout, well, somebody's going to be like, you should have just let him flow. What are you doing? Or he freezes in the huddle and draws up the worst inbounds play you've ever seen and it fails or whatever. It gets stolen. Then he gets the blame. He doesn't call the timeout. He can say, well, I was really confident in our guys that they know what to do at the time. And then you're passing the buck onto the guys. Do you know what the right thing to do is or not?
Then an all-time classic last night. A crazy comeback from the Lakers or from the Nuggets, down 20 plus to the Lakers at home. Lakers were doing everything right. Everybody played well, it felt like, for Los Angeles. LeBron did his thing, 26, 12, and 8, only 2 turnovers. Anthony Davis was basically perfect to the first 3 quarters of the game, 32 points, 14 of 19 shooting, 11 rebounds. He was awesome. D'Angelo Russell was on fire, 7 of 11 from 3. Everything you need for the Lakers to win a game. They had a great game plan. I liked having Anthony Davis on Nikola Jokic all night. It made Jokic's life hard. He was good, 27, 20, and 10. Not pretending he wasn't incredible, but it felt like the Lakers game, and it just, the Nuggets are inevitable, and they came back, and Jamal Murray hits the awesome game winner in the baseline as the buzzer expires.
So tell me if this is not the best game to bring up my example with the Lakers. If I'm wrong, tell me. I'll listen. But when was Anthony Davis good?
Oh, yeah, first half. I think he was 11 of 12.
When was D'Angelo Russell good?
11 of 5 of 5, 5 of 6 in the first half from 3.
When did the Lakers lose the game?
Second half. Late third quarter, fourth quarter.
They have this weird thing where LeBron lets the rest of the team play in the first half. They rack up a bunch of stats, and LeBron goes, oh, okay, I've got my teammates happy. Well, it's LeBron time.
And I will
and
say—
And LeBron, they collapsed in, what, the final minute? I mean,
they
the
collapsed
time
late,
when,
and one of the issues was they did collapse when LeBron was off the floor. I will say that
so that's
goes
what
against
I'm saying.
Your
if,
argument,
if
yes.
This is not the best example, I'm willing to listen to that. But it seems to constantly be there with the Lakers.
No, I think Anthony Davis was like 12 of 14 in the first half and took 5 shots this whole second half of the game. So, yes, that part always applies.
And then I was listening to a national show this morning, and they were killing Anthony Davis for being out of shape and running out of gas. And I was like, is that fair? Or did his number just stop getting called?
And it's also, you know what's amazing, is how good a shape Nikola Jokic is in. Well, I know that was always the joke on him. He's out of shape. He doesn't have the perfect body. He never stops running. He plays 41 minutes a game. His decision-making never falls off because he's tired. He's unbelievable. He is so awesome to watch.
Playing at altitude all the time probably doesn't hurt either.
No, I'm sure it wears everyone else out, and he's fine.
But, you know, like, there's a reason that, you know, when Lance Armstrong is swapping out his blood, he's swapping it for the blood when he trained on top of Mount Everest. You know what I mean? Like, it helps at sea level, too. All right, what's next?
Number 2, Ryan Smith says fan-voted bracket will decide Utah's NHL team name, and this is how Pat McAfee feels about it.
When are we picking a name? When are we picking the damn name?
Actually, we're doing a bracket.
Oh, no. Ryan.
What? Why isn't that a good thing?
Okay, that was a very funny response from the armpit. I thought that was really funny.
Pit letting loose. I love it.
Here's the thing that Pat McAfee can do that not a lot of media members can do. They can boo their billionaire guest for a decision like that that not everyone on ESPN would do. So I credit Pat McAfee for that. I thought it was a funny response. Now, those two have a good relationship. You know, Ryan goes on somewhat frequently, it seems like. So clearly they're buddies, and he's been at Jazz games, and they've hung out. They know each other. They're comfortable in that sense. Again, Pat McAfee's real skill there. I understand why he's doing a bracket. After everything that happened with the jersey rebrand and how often he gets tagged on Twitter for how bad of a job he did and how if he had asked fans for 5 minutes, they never would have approved it. So he says, fine, here's your bracket. This is what you're going to do. You get to choose. I don't love it. I've always said just make your decisions and stand behind them. I felt the same way about the jerseys. They should have just kept the yellow jerseys. If he liked them, he owns the team. Do whatever you want. The fans will buy it. Every Jazz game I go to, I see a ton of yellow jerseys. Yeah. Fans bought them, just not the loud ones on Twitter. So pick a name.
And let's go. I couldn't agree more. I don't understand why he's going with bracket, because I don't understand why he listens to the bozos that are upset about that sort of thing anyway. They're going to change it in 2 years anyway, and you're not going to stop being a fan because you don't like the yellow. So
and they're going to hate it.
So have confidence in your decision. Move forward. It's like the referee final minute report. Like, at least let me think you're right.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean? Like, don't apologize for making a bad call in the last 2 minutes that lost us the game. At least let me be mad at you, but at least let me think you think you're right.
It goes back.
Because that's how the system works.
Yeah. It goes back to my argument yesterday. Someone's going to be mad about it regardless.
People complain about everything.
People are going to be mad at you.
Yes.
Fine. The important thing is you brought an NHL team to Utah. That is such a massive legacy-changing win that you've already had by buying the Utah Jazz, but this is a all-time legacy maker as a great titan in sports in the state of Utah. I don't care about pleasing the fans with the name or the jersey, in all honesty. I just don't. He does. He does.
I'm looking at the logos and the names right now. We have it up at kslsports.com. Like, half of these, if not more, would be just fine. Would be great. Like, look at what they came up for the Outlaws, Ben.
Yeah, it's great.
It's fine.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's great.
I could get behind that. You got to do the branding right for the Outlaws because you got to be careful, but you can make
it
work.
People that have the Yetis, I mean, it looks fine, you know? And even some that I don't particularly like would be fine. And then we buy the sweater and we move on with our lives.
Also, can we just talk? There's just a ton of bad names. There's just a ton of bad names that you only care about when you think about the process of them being named. But, like, the Wild is a boring name. It's not a good name in sports. The Stars, the Jets, the Flames.
I kind of like the Flames.
The Ducks. Here's the thing. You're right. Whatever Utah names themselves, people are going to like on the outside. But when you're too close to it, the Kings, it's a bad name. They're not that exciting. They're not that inventive. There are good ones. The Golden Knights is a bad name. It's a really bad name. But nobody cares, right? Like, it's about the team.
The fans certainly don't.
It's just about go have a good team. Yeah, have a fun team.
I totally agree. Something so subjective as this, you know?
Yeah.
This is one part where I think you could, you know, be selfish as an owner.
Right.
Like Larry Miller was with the Bees. When he bought the Bees, they were called the...
Trappers?
Stingers.
Stingers.
They were called the Stingers. But Larry grew up
with... Did
the
Trappers go away and then the Stingers came back?
Well, the Trappers went away. Then,
for a few years, though.
It was for a few years, but the Trappers were only single A. So the Trappers went away,
okay,
and then they brought in a triple A team, which was originally called the Buzz. Then they were sued by Georgia Tech University for some reason and switched to the Stingers.
That's right.
They were probably sued by Georgia Tech because I think they sold the rights to Major League 3, which might be the worst movie ever. But they're the Buzz in Major League 3, if you've ever seen that movie. So then they switched to the Stingers. And then Larry bought the team and switched them to the Bees. And why the Buzz was a violation for Georgia Tech and the Bees are not, I have no idea. But Larry was nostalgic about the Bees that were here back in the whatever it was. They were the farm team for the Giants, I think.
Yeah.
And so he was nostalgic about that. So he's like, I'm changing the name and I'm going to do it for this because I like it. And I wouldn't blame Ryan if he did that.
The one thing
that's
you can't
what
do,
I do.
Don't name it after yourself. That's
the Ryans?
Robert Johnson did. Who owned the Bobcats.
The Bobcats, Bob's Cats, yeah.
He named them after himself. Don't do that.
No, don't do that.
Everything else is fine. Everything else is fine.
You know what I'd do if I were him? The Utah Qualtrics.
Sure, whatever. Go the Cougars, whatever.
Because then you kill two birds with one stone, the Qualtrics. That's tremendous marketing.
Yeah, you don't even need to buy the
No, that's
patch.
The name of the team.
It comes with it.
Deal with it. Next.
Number three, BYU Hoops lands a big commit.
Brody Kozlowski, Ben, who was initially committed to USC to go play for Andy Enfield.
Yeah.
But then LeBron got him fired, basically. And now Brody was kind of in the wind.
Didn't stay with Mus.
He lands at BYU, which he basically had passed on to go to USC. So now new coaching staff, everything at BYU. Brody staying close to home.
Yep. Good for him. BYU legacy family. It's a good get for BYU. It was kind of a big loss for Mark Pope to not get him.
It was a loss for Mark Pope for sure.
So to get him back is a good start. And, you know, as much as BYU has lost this offseason, you got to start having some young players to build around. You lose Colin Chandler, you get Kozlowski. Fine.
Yeah, if his mother is on the television broadcast, you probably should land
you should
that
get
guy.
Him.
You probably should get him. You got a bit of an advantage. But anyway, congratulations to that whole family.
Yeah,
that's great.
Absolutely. Sure, they're happy to have them home.
All right, stay tuned. We'll have more next, including a kind of a wacky moment from Major League Baseball. We'll get to that straight ahead. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
The sports you love, the teams you can't live without.
You have sense of urgency!
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Jacob Mann, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Our 50 segment is brought to you by our friends at Peach Doors and Windows, Utah's premier door and window retailer, combining beauty and technology in doors and windows since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255. Also, Win Ticket Wednesday, your chance to win big every week on the station. This week, tomorrow, in fact, you can win tickets to see Aerosmith at Delta Center on November 24th. Listen to the KSL Sports Zone all day on Wednesday for your chance to win. All right, Ben, we have some good sound today. Set this up for us.
Everyone likes a good baseball ejection, right? We like an umpire fight, manager fight, George Brett storming out of the dugout because of the pine tar, whatever, just players, whoever. But yesterday, 5 pitches into the game between the Yankees and the Oakland Athletics, Aaron Boone and who's this guy? Wendell Stett, the home plate umpire, got into it. Because in the opening pitch, Carlos Rodon, the pitcher for the Yankees, hit the leadoff batter. but it was like kind of a weird spot, hit him on the foot. You couldn't tell if it bounced off the dirt or not, so they gave him first base.
Okay.
So it was hit by a pitch. So Boone was already arguing about whether the guy got hit by the pitch or not.
All right.
And Wendelstedt, the umpire, says, that's it, Aaron. Like, no more. I'm not going to listen to you say another word about the game. And do I want to reveal what happened before? Okay, we'll play the sound now. But that's the setup here.
All right.
Is the first base umpire you saw making
that
call?
You're not yelling at me. I did what I was supposed to do and check. I'm looking for him to get hit by the pitch. You got anything else to say? You're gone. Okay?
Oh, okay, Hunter.
Wow. You know what? We're not going to need a John Boy breakdown of that one. We got a very clear.
Aaron, you're done. Well,
there you go. And now Aaron's saying, I didn't say anything.
You're gone.
Aaron's saying, hold on a second. I didn't say a word.
So what's amazing about this is there's a great shot of Aaron Boone standing. He's kind of at the top of the stairway, you know, in between the gates. And you can see the home plate umpire. You can see Aaron Boone, and you can see some bozo in a blue shirt sitting right above the dugout who yells something that Wendelstedt hears, and immediately he tosses Aaron Boone out of the game because of a fan heckling, thinking that Aaron Boone had just kept going at him. It was hilarious. And to have the actual visual proof that, yeah, absolutely, this fan in this blue shirt yelled it. Aaron Boone, you can tell, doesn't move his mouth at all and gets tossed. Anyways, great piece of audio. And then, yeah, the microphone catching all of that on the actual broadcast. How unique is that? We need more of it.
They definitely turned it off after that because he starts saying more explicit words
Pretty
than
profane.
Even
then. Yeah.
Man, umpires / referees are just the worst humans,
the worst.
Aren't they?
It's got to be the worst people.
Just the worst. How dare you?
What's the worst?
Defy me.
Who is it? Are umpires worse than NBA refs?
No.
Because, like, you know, there's Ed Hockley and there's a couple of not infamous but kind of notorious NFL umps, refs, whatever.
There really isn't. He's the only one.
Yeah, right.
Can
and
ever
it's only
name.
Because you he's can see his muscles when he does a
muscly. And now his kid's in there, right?
Yeah.
And so we know two NFL refs, and that's it.
Which is great, by the way. And that doesn't mean they always do a good job. Obviously, they don't. But they're pretty anonymous. The NBA and Major League Baseball have such infamous referees, which is the complete opposite of what the referee is supposed to do.
Well. In basketball, certainly, referees have the most sway.
Yes.
I mean, they have the most impact on the game, whether they do their job appropriately or not. I mean, in baseball, if the guy catches it, you're out.
But,
you know, there's close calls, right, at bags and plates and things like that, and an opportunity to affect it. For the most part, though, like, how many outs in baseball are cut and dry? I'd say, like, 80%
yeah,
of
80%.
Them. Maybe more.
At least, yeah.
At least.
Now, you can change a strike zone, but usually the strike zone, once it changes, kind of stays consistent through the game.
Right.
You're like, well, this ref's calling it tight or ump's calling it tight, or it's kind of a loose strike zone. Now, there are guys like Angel Hernandez who are just bad at their jobs. Angel Hernandez is notoriously an awful ump, doesn't have anything to do with this story, but is one of the Major League Baseball umps that we know is just bad at his job.
Yeah.
Is always bad at his job, super controversial, and the league, for some reason, keeps going back to him.
How many, like, balls and strikes are not even close, too. The vast majority of them. Because you're thinking of the batter swings if the ball
yeah.
is in the strike zone
right.
most of the time. That's kind of the point. Called strikes, you know, those sorts of things. Called strikeouts. They actually don't happen that often, if you think about it. In the NBA, there's a subjective call every time down the floor. Whether you make it or not, there is some subjective thing that is happening that you have to make a decision about that dramatically impacts the game on every single possession.
Joel Embiid whined about it last night after the game. He said Tyrese Maxey got fouled. Nick Nurse whined about it. The Philadelphia 76ers are submitting a challenge to the NBA about how the refs have performed over the first two games. And then after the game, Darvin Ham was complaining about the Lakers not getting calls, which is laughable to everybody else in the NBA because they shot 500 more free throws than any other team in the NBA this season. So you're right. The NBA refs have a much bigger impact than anywhere else.
And so it bugs me when we know who they are because they're these quasi-celebrities because they have so much impact. And now your ego is something that's going to impact the game? Like, that's lame.
Yep.
I think there are so many people on a refereeing crew in football it keeps people honest in a weird way. Does that make any sense?
Yep, absolutely.
Because if one line judge isn't calling it, the other one probably is, or the lead official, and there's all this put your heads together on every single call that's made. Whereas in the NBA, who is it now, and Ben, I should know this right off the top of my head, who absolutely can't stand Chris Paul?
Tony Brothers. Yeah.
That is, and listen, I do not cheer for Chris Paul under any circumstance, and I would get why referees find him obnoxious, but that should never be a thing. That should never be a thing where a topic on radio is, does Chris Paul get thrown out tonight because Tony Brothers is officiating? Or, hey, Chris Paul's going to lose because his record is like 1-55 when Tony Brother officiates.
Right.
That's like, that's corruption. That
should not be a part of it.
That shouldn't be a thing.
100%. That should, every game should be a blank slate for referees. Every single game.
Like, it would be, if you were an NFL official and had it out for star quarterback, it would be next to impossible to be biased because somebody else on the crew is making the call. If it's a late hit or something like that, it would be hard in the NFL. Major League Baseball, the umpiring is just not all that consequential. And I know that they have the rep for managers, you know, bumping chests with the umpires and stuff like that. But the umpiring doesn't actually affect the game that much outside of balls and strikes. And as you say, you can alter it, but you're pretty much consistent with everybody. And it doesn't often come down to the called strike.
No. And the, you know, call it the bag, because there's a replay now, you can fix that. You know, the Galarraga missing the perfect game at first base, a challenge fixes that now. So you're right. It's even less consequential now than it used to be. There are examples of it, but the NBA.
The NBA is the worst.
There's so many bad calls.
Yep. And notoriously bad officials.
Yeah.
Kane Fitzgerald was in. Is he still in the league?
I think so, yeah.
Man. All right, stay tuned. We'll have more next. Alex Keery will join the show at 11:30 as Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The murder of two men forces their families to wrestle with impossible questions. Who is forgiveness for? Does everyone deserve a second chance? Follow season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who's got it better than us?
Nobody!
Your home for the best sports coverage in Utah. You're listening to Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Jake Scott, Ben Anderson. I want to remind you to join Hans and Scotty G. Coming up today from noon to 3 at My Hearing Center is 8941 South, 700 East. Drop by and say hi to those guys. And also, My Hearing Center, they're great, Ben. You've seen their technology in action. It's more than just hearing aids these days, you know what I mean? There's more to it. Imagine how cool it would be to dial into a Bluetooth with just a hearing aid in your ear.
Yeah. Be great.
Rad.
Tune everyone else out.
All right, so...
Sorry, David James, can't hear you. Chapel Roan album came out.
Go check out those guys today. Ben, NBA playoffs continue on tonight. We have three games, two out of three on TNT. The early game will be game two between the Suns and the Timberwolves, Minnesota with a one game to none lead. And then the nightcap will be the Mavericks at the Clippers. The Clippers lead one game to none. And then sandwiched in between the NBA TV game, Ben, game two between the Bucks and the Pacers. The Bucks with a one game to none lead. Well, let's start out the conversation this way. If there is a road team that will win tonight, that road team will be?
I want to say the Suns, I guess. Because
that was kind of
the odds-on favorite that everyone thought was going to steal a game early.
But I thought for sure you were going to say the Mavericks.
But I think it's probably the Mavericks. Yeah, it should be the Mavericks. I don't think they're going to play as poorly as they did in Game 1, nor do I think James Harden's going to play as well as he did in Game 1. Oh, by the way, quick adjustment from the last segment. Mr. Outlaw points out, it's Scott Foster who has the thing with Chris Paul.
Scott Foster has
his own issues.
Thank you. Corrections,
Thank you, Mr. Outlaw.
And retractions.
Neither here nor there. I would probably, initially I would have said I would have thought that there was a real chance Dallas was going home up 2-0, which by the way, they have done before and still lost a series to the Clippers. So I thought they could have gotten back there. They've got a good chance to win tonight. We will see what happens with Kawhi. I don't think the entire team in Dallas is going to play as poorly as they did. And the Suns just might not have answers for Minnesota.
The Suns are good.
Yeah, all the flaws that the Suns have, you probably can't fix. And I think some of the flaws that the Mavericks had, which was all of their players not named Luka and Kyrie, were terrible. And even most of Luka's stats came in the fourth quarter when the game was out of hand already. That's probably pretty easily going to get fixed. I would imagine Daniel Gafford finds a way to grab a rebound. He's a 6'10", has a 40-inch vertical, yeah. Didn't grab a rebound the first game. I think you're better than that.
Well, and he's really key for them, too.
So he will play better.
And I don't think the Clippers are as good as they represented either. That's why I'd probably pick that game as the road team that would win. And I don't really even believe as much as most folks do in the Mavericks. But the Clippers without Kawhi, I don't think, are better than Dallas? Well, they're still at home, I guess.
There's a real
Clippers
argument.
With Kawhi, I think, is a different story, but I don't think he's going to be healthy.
No, I'm not. Even if he comes back, I mean, he's just got his knee is apparently all swollen and an issue, and it's always his knee. It's always a problem. Been a problem
for several years
now, but yeah, for a very long time.
Except for his quad was the one that he used to get out of San Antonio.
But it was the knee that he, banged knees with Joe Ingles and tore his ACL or whatever it was. This is the knee that's given him issues again. So this dates back several years. There's an argument all three road teams win tonight. The Suns, who crushed the Timberwolves in the final game of the regular season, that the people kind of thought the Timberwolves were trying to win to get the number one seed and home court advantage throughout. The Suns crushed them and avoided the play-in as a result, so that was a good win for the Suns. The Pacers completely no-showed against the Bucks, and as long as Dame doesn't go off for 35 points in the first half,
Well, tell me why I should believe more in the Pacers. Because I kind of want to, but I don't.
I don't have a good answer for that. I really don't. Because they were awesome to start the year because Tyrese Halliburton was so good. He gets the hamstring injury. He forces games to play, and I still don't know if he qualified for it because he needed to play 65 games to qualify for the Supermax contract, which, by the way, I think is a stupid rule. So that's an ultimate cat in the wall, as you'd like to say. And they have not been the same since, though their defense is better. They're also missing Benedict Mathurin, who's a really good player. He's out for the year. And then Dallas just bounced back like we talked about and beats the Clippers. Like, there's an argument there. But, no, I don't know if I have a huge reason to believe in the Pacers other than how much do you believe in the Bucks without Giannis?
Not much.
Yeah. The truth is the East just stinks. The East is so bad outside of the Celtics, who are absurdly dominant.
Yeah, well, the East is back to being bad. It was bad for decades. It was kind of good for the last couple of years, and now it's back to being terrible again, I guess.
Yeah, I remember last year we were like, the Eastern Conference playoffs are going to be a bloodbath, and it's going to be exciting. And actually it was, because a team in the play-in tournament, Miami, got to the finals. There were great games, and the Celtics and 76ers went to seven, and the Celtics and the Heat went to seven. Like, there were a couple of iconic classic series. This year is not going to be that. Like, the Cavaliers are going to probably beat the Magic, and they're going to get swept in the second round. All this goodwill that Donovan Mitchell might be rebuilding in Cleveland is going to be swept out the door, quite literally, because they're going to lose in four games in extremely dominant fashion by the Boston Celtics. Everyone's going to say, oh, well, you beat Orlando. Fine. Like, Orlando's not good.
They can't make a basket.
They can't score. It's their first year in the playoffs. They're a bottom 10 offensive team. They're just not very good. So that doesn't really mean a whole lot. This Miami run might be coming to an end. I suspect they're going to re-sign Jimmy to a big contract this summer, but he's 35, doesn't stay healthy very often anymore. Maybe Miami decides to move on. I mean, they're pretty cold-blooded historically, and their willingness to move on from guys as well. It's Pat Riley, so I don't know which direction they take. 76ers have a bunch of free agency money. The ironic thing is the guy they should sign is Jimmy Butler or try and go out and get. He's still got a year left on his deal plus a player option. But
probably not going to go over there.
Can't go and get Jimmy Butler. They're still a year away from Paul George hitting free agency. So I don't know how much better they get through free agency this summer, the 76ers. And the Knicks look very flawed right now because Jalen Brunson can't score. It's just all these Eastern Conference teams are fine, but not great.
You know what I had forgotten? That Julius Randle got hurt in the waning minutes of a game that they were up like 20.
Yeah. A blowout. Yeah, dislocates his shoulder.
Thibodeau is something else.
Can't help himself.
Thibodeau is something else. And that's why I'm not betting on the Knicks to go anywhere.
They could still lose the series.
Oh, very easily still lose this series.
You go back to Philly. Philly wins a couple of games, gets the momentum back. Knicks pay.
Because it's the playoffs. Everybody plays their guys in the playoffs. Hmm. Yeah, you and Coach Lacombe really liked the Knicks all season, and I just didn't see it. But maybe, you know what? Maybe they have a conference finals run in them. What seed are they? When do they have to face Boston?
After the conference finals.
Yeah. So maybe.
No, that was,
I don't
that
think
was
so.
Really advantageous for them. They get the second seed. No one wanted to play Philly, but if you beat Philly, the advantage is you get Milwaukee in the second round and not Boston.
And you could beat Milwaukee because the East is so bad. So maybe, you know, God, I hope not. How obnoxious would the national media be if the Knicks won a
Celtics,
couple of
Knicks?
Series?
Ugh. The only game you're going to find.
Vomit.
It's the only thing you're going to find. And it is funny because they're not playing particularly well. They've got good players. I like a lot of their players. Maybe the guy that the Philadelphia 76ers go and sign is Isaiah Hartenstein, the center for the Knicks that I think is a very good player. Would really make the Jazz a lot better this offseason as well as a name that you could keep an eye on. But they need a backup to Joel Embiid. And I don't know if he wants to give up a starting job, but he doesn't always start. But anyways, yeah, that's the type of player that would help you. But no one's particularly close to Boston. Milwaukee, you thought was going to be close, and I say you, meaning everybody. I know you actually were a little far lower on them than most people, and you have been accurate in that prediction. The Dame stuff works in stretches. It was great in the first half. I'm equally concerned that he didn't score in the second half as I am impressed that he scored 35 in the first half. Like, they just decided to take Dame out of the game, and they did. That the great players, you can't stop. You can't ever take him out of the game. And they were able to totally take Dame out of the game in the second half. So we will see if he can bounce back tonight and get that on. Is that the NBA TV game? It's got to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ben, you mentioned Philadelphia's salary situation and having money to spend. Guess how many players that are fully guaranteed under contract for next season?
Oh, it's like Joel and Paul Reed, who signed the Jazz contract in the offseason.
Paul is not guaranteed.
Oh, that's right. The Jazz didn't even give a guaranteed deal. It was 1 year with big money and then team options, right?
Not even team options, just not guaranteed. He's technically under contract until 25-26, but...
But they're partial guarantees every year.
Yeah. Joel Embiid is the only player on the team.
It's crazy.
If I'm him, I'm asking out. I'm not kidding.
You got nobody.
You got nobody on the roster. Now, they have control over Tyrese Maxey's rights.
And they're going to give him
a bunch of dough. So he's going to be on the team. But if I'm Joel Embiid, I'm thinking, do I really trust these morons to build a title team for me next year around me and Tyrese Maxey when nobody else is even here? So you got to put together a whole new roster, and that's going to be a title contending team. Hard pass. Get me out of here immediately. Wouldn't you think?
Well,
maybe that's the big game that becomes available this offseason.
That is what teams are betting on, including the Utah Jazz, is that at some point these guys, including Joel, Giannis, Luka, are going to be fed up.
Get me out of here.
Going to be fed up with ownership, direction, not enough help. And yeah, the irony is that the 76ers have the options now and the ability to get it. I don't think they have a lot of draft capital because of all the James Harden, Ben Simmons trades that they have.
Oh, there's no way they do.
I can't imagine that they have a lot to work with, but I could be wrong. But they got money, but the ironic thing is that you just don't build through free agency anymore. Nobody does. You're going to be like, well, we've got $8 million to spend, and Talen Horton-Tucker's out there. We're going hot dog shopping.
I've never seen anything like this, where you have one player under contract for the next year.
Yeah, they have something like...
One player.
$80, $90 million in cap space if they renounce everybody.
That is crazy. And nobody else is, by the way, in that situation that Maxey is where they control their rights. Maybe KJ Martin and Mo Bamba, but those two guys don't matter at all.
Yeah, at all. Certainly not Mo Bamba.
So in an era, as Ben lays out there, that you don't build teams in free agency, the sell to Joel Embiid is, well, you should see this team we're going to build in free agency.
Yeah.
Because what you don't have anything else to sell because you can't sell a trade. You can't say, hey, we're going to trade, make a big deal to bring some good players in here. They don't have anything to trade.
Yep, they can't. So I'm looking at the free agency list. This applies to the Jazz. Jazz could have a bunch of money. The Jazz are going to go in the offseason. They're here. Kind of trying to figure out, hey, is there a big name you could sign that would change the team? Or you just give all that money to Lauri Markkanen and the extension. Now, if you bring back a big-time player and you can't give Lowry the extension, and I know there's different ways they can work it, and maybe they just say, hey, let's just wait till Lowry next summer. Then that's fine. You can do that. If you, for some reason, it doesn't make sense cap-wise or you bring in a big name and you want to wait a year to extend him, you absolutely can do that. But the free agents are bad this year. Klay Thompson might be a legitimate option for Philly. But Klay, his last game, he just went 0-10 in the playoffs or in the play-in tournament game. Like, that doesn't turn Philly into a title contender. The second best name is Tobias Harris, who
is their guy
on the team and they want off so desperately. The third best player is James Harden, who can't be in Philly.
Yeah, that's not happening.
Pascal Siakam, he's probably just going to re-sign with Indiana. I imagine they got that worked out when they traded for him. How interested are you in Gordon Hayward at this point in his career?
Sign him.
Kyle Lowry is already there. DeMar DeRozan, maybe. But he just clogs up all the spacing
for Joel
in that little mid-range area he likes to operate in. Buddy Hield is already in Philly. D'Angelo Russell, I don't think you touch him. Gary Trent Jr., interesting. Markelle Fultz, already been in Philly. Like, that's the funny thing is half of these names you disqualify because of their pre-existing relationship with the 76ers.
How does Daryl Morey continue to get credit?
It's incredible.
He continues to get everybody's like, oh, this guy's a genius.
It's incredible.
I don't think he is.
Yeah. He is good at doing exactly what we're talking about, putting you in places where you have financial flexibility, especially when it seems like teams had none. He finds a way to do that. But man, if you don't do anything with it, who cares? They could go out and sign Malik Monk. That's another name I'd keep an eye on for the Jazz. He's a good player. Probably going to win Sixth Man of the Year. I think he's qualified for it. They could use Miles Bridges, but I know no one wants to sign Miles Bridges because of his domestic assault, which is totally understandable. I talked about Isaiah Hartenstein. The question is, do you want to invest $20 million in a center when you already have the best center?
No, you don't.
Yeah. I like Kyle Anderson. That's a name I would look at if I were...
Slow-mo?
Yeah, slow-mo.
That'll put him over the top.
That'll fix it.
That'll do it.
So That's the problem. I mean, that's where the Jazz are too. It's why, you know, if you're going to improve, you probably got to improve via trade.
Yeah, but the Jazz are in a way different situation in that they are rebuilding, and Philly is trying to contend for a title with the top three player in the league. Like,
no, the Jazz don't have to build a roster this summer through free agency.
But it comes back to what we were talking about, urgency. Like, you've got to take advantage of the teams that are in a bad spot. And I like the idea of Joel Embiid saying, I'm not going to stick around for this. And all of a sudden, Philly's desperate because they got to move a big-time player. And all of a sudden, who's waiting there? You know, another team.
Yeah.
Although, man, wouldn't Joel Embiid fit nicely onto the Oklahoma City roster?
Yeah, he'd look pretty good there.
And they've got more assets than the Jazz do still.
Yep. Now, the hard part about that, again, it's the funny corner that OKC has painted themselves into, which is they're so good that they almost can't make the superstar trade, because if they make the superstar trade now, you have to give up on either Chet or Jalen Williams, and they don't want to give up on either because they have fallen in love with those guys, and they're going to be too loyal to those stars to give up to make the improvement that you have to make to get better. That's my bet, and that's going to be something that actually ultimately undoes them.
Well, you probably move Chet if you trade for Embiid.
I think so, too. And you would, I would think. But the potential of Chet is so high that there's going to be people like, are you crazy? Joel's hurt all the time. Chet's 20 years old and is 7'4" and is the only guy who's going to be able to guard Victor Wembanyama ever, and it's going to be the West for a three-year chance to win with Joel Embiid now, which, by the way, is probably the right move. Look at the Toronto Raptors trying to get Kawhi Leonard. You got to kick the door down. You can't, as the Jazz have said, tiptoe your way to a championship. You've got to kick the door down at some point. And Joel Embiid is a kick-the-door-down type of trade. And the type of thing Philly should be looking at too, by the way. You know, I get that you get these MVP caliber players, but about trying to get that next guy to keep this thing afloat. But I don't know if either team would do that. But OKC got good early, quickly, in a weird way, that I don't think they're going to be willing to trade any of their star players.
Well, if they can't get a rebound, it's like Orlando. If you can't score at all, you're going to lose. If you're Oklahoma City and you can't get a rebound, it's going to be rough.
It's a team I'd keep an eye on, potentially trying to figure out if the Jazz would loosen up on Walker Kessler this offseason.
Oh, that's interesting.
I could see OKC saying he's young, he's going to step in and do his job, he's a great rim protector. For some reason, the Jazz have not been in love with him in the second season, at least not outwardly like they were the first year. Wonder if you could get him for
Shea.
Mid-level first-round pick or something like that, and the Jazz say, hey, we're in the trading first-round draft pick business.
Just don't trade for Giddey. Just don't.
Avoid Josh Giddey. He's already only playing 15 minutes in the playoffs. It's funny.
Because he can't play in the playoffs.
He can't shoot.
He can't shoot at all.
Yeah. Again, if you just can't shoot, you can't play. It's crazy.
Certainly not the position he's trying to play.
Yeah. Yeah, center, maybe. Maybe. But any other position, you have to shoot now.
You
in the
have
NBA.
To shoot.
Continue to bring this back to the Jazz. We don't know what these rookies are going to look like a couple of years from now. The intriguing thing is, I know Taylor can shoot. I think Bryce can shoot.
All three can shoot well.
I think Keontae can shoot.
Yeah, I think
so. Those guys all have a chance because they can shoot. Right. And if one of them couldn't shoot, I would say there's probably zero chance they ever play.
But Jazz fans know this. I mean, they tried to talk themselves into Dante Exum for years. He's the fastest guy in the league, which was true for a minute. He's 6'6" and long. I mean, I fell for it. I wanted him to be successful because I like the concept of Dante Exum, but he couldn't shoot a lick, and so you can't play him.
I really like Chris Dunn's game. You can't play him and Walker Kessler at the same time.
No.
Because you can't have two non-shooters on the floor ever. Anymore.
It used to be three.
It moved to four, and now it's maybe five. Yeah. Like, within 3 years, it's going to be five. Yeah. And Walker Kessler's going to be a dinosaur.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's amazing how quickly it changed.
But certainly not a guard anymore.
No.
If you're thinking about a guard who can't shoot, think about something else.
Yeah. Got the wrong game.
Like, unfortunately, Ronnie Brewer ain't going to make it anymore. Ben Simmons didn't make it. I don't think Giddey's. And not make it like Giddey's going to be in the NBA for 10 years. But he can't be your key component of your starting lineup.
Can't be a top four player on your roster.
No. All right, stay tuned. We'll have Alex Keery is going to join the show coming up next. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Whether it's the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, or Aggies,
These guys have got you covered.
Time to eat, fellas.
You're locked on to Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
1, 2, 3, move it.
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Let's get out to the Zone phone. Joining us now is the co-host of JJ and Alex every afternoon here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, the one and only Alex Curie. What's going on, Alex?
Fellas, how is it?
Alex, I know you've been on paternity leave for the last couple of weeks. Did you miss anything?
No. According to JJ, we just flew right through everything. I didn't miss a thing. And apparently, but I was told I should go on vacation more often. Maybe we'll get an NFL team.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, get Major League Baseball here.
Take a little bit longer.
All right. Yeah, why not? What are your thoughts on, what's your relationship with hockey, and what are your thoughts on everything that's transpired over the last couple of weeks?
So this is interesting that this happened kind of while my oldest is almost 16. When I was almost turning 16, I think I was probably, in ninth grade even, maybe just a little bit younger. The Stars moved from Minnesota to Dallas, where we're living. And like as a guy, I mean, that's football country, you know? I mean, like, it was Cowboys country, and they were winning Super Bowls right before this kind of era. And why doesn't a hockey team go in Minnesota? Like, how do they lose their team? How do they lose the North Stars? Or how do they lose them to Dallas? Well, there's this weird shift that was happening during that time, and we're kind of seeing it now. And this is something we've talked about a little bit, obviously, and I've heard you guys talking about with all the amazing friends we've made in hockey media over the last few weeks. It's just like there's a weird – not weird. It's not weird anymore. It's a wild ride in the South, the Southeast, because this is not just a Northeast or a Canadian sport. When the Stars moved from Minnesota to Dallas when I was a kid, the whole community embraced it. Like, they packed out Reunion Arena, which is where the Mavericks played back then, and they packed out. And, you know, as a kid, what did we do? We bought rollerblades, and we got the street hockey sets, and we were out there like crazy. And the youth hockey programs down in Dallas blew up, which apparently, I mean, obviously we know it's not huge here. And I've always wondered that. Well, we don't have a lot of youth hockey here, which is weird. You should have it. But sometimes getting an NHL team here ends up kind of helping with that underpinning of youth hockey programs, which is what you need. They, you know, they're huge on that. It's one thing to be like, oh, we have baseball here. Kids like to play Little League baseball. But apparently youth hockey being in a community is a huge part of what the NHL wants, needs, and is kind of critical to their success, not just for fandom and for people liking hockey, but for the sake of kind of getting some development going around this part of the country, which, frankly, we should have a lot more of.
What do you think about pouncing on the opportunity to get the Coyotes as opposed to maybe being more patient and getting an expansion team?
What are the benefits of the expansion? The draft is really favorable in the NHL, right? I mean, that's a cool thing. But what do you get in the NHL expansion draft? Really, really good players and a lot of young players that you are kind of forcing to come here because you're trying to force growth. But that already is happening, right, in Arizona, from what we can tell. Everybody's telling us, right? Like, and we just have to go off of what everybody says. They have a really, really good, defensive core. They have a lot of young dudes. Their goaltending is amazing. And that's all the stuff you'd want to get in an expansion draft anyway. I mean, it's the best possible scenario just because of how speedy it was able to be done. Yesterday we were chatting with one of the beat writers from TSN, and he was like, this is an all hands on deck situation. They've never had something like this, a 6-month turnaround. But you know, if somebody can pull it off, we can. And obviously the season ticket deposits, which I don't really get how that works mathematically. Maybe it's like putting a deposit on an electric car you're never actually going to buy. You just put a deposit in, and then when the actual price comes out of it, you're like, oh, I'm not paying that much money. But I mean, I don't know. I don't know how expensive it's going to be, but I love that they're coming. Otherwise, what are we going to do? Roll the dice on expansion and hope that people like Salt Lake? It's much easier to control this situation, it seemed like, from Ryan Smith's standpoint. And he and Gary Bettman, of course, kind of got along swimmingly from day one a couple of years ago. So this is the most preferable because it's the one that actually we know happened, and it felt like it was something that could be controlled more.
I think sometimes it's hard to see the forest through the trees because of just how close we are to everything that's going on right now. But Kevin Young is an enormous hire for BYU, and we can touch on that a little bit further. But getting an NHL team is absolutely enormous for Salt Lake City. The mayor all but announced that we're going to get the Olympics in 2034 at the right. hockey press conference by saying, like, all we have to do is put in the bid and then it's ours because nobody else is bidding on it. Like, we are getting an Olympics, a huge head coaching hire at one of our local colleges, universities, right. and NHL in one summer. Like, this is a monumental summer for what it means to be a sports fan in Utah and being yeah. on the national map.
Yeah, I mean, it's exactly right. Like, all of it is stuff that I think at some point, because I can be, we can get pretty pessimistic and go, no, we're not getting an NHL team in our lifetime. No, nobody likes Salt Lake that much. No, it's not going to happen. Kevin Young going to BYU? No freaking way. One, they can't pay him. Two, he's too big of a name. They're just, they're not going to be able to get it. That's like asking for Andy Reid. You know, I mean, how many, I know so many people. I'm not kidding. And they do it without irony, too. They'll be like, I think that if we called Andy Reid after, you know, maybe a couple of years of winning Super Bowls, we'd be able to get Andy Reid down here to BYU. And I'm always like, you're insane. It felt like that because I had so many people being like, this Kevin Young thing's going to happen, right? I'm like, I don't know why he would want to leave $2 million a year as a lead assistant and one of these young names in the NBA to go to BYU where he's certainly going to get a pay cut. And he did not get a pay cut. He doubled it, right? I mean, there's all sorts of crazy stuff with that story. And, yeah, the Olympics coming is like almost like no big deal. We know how to host it. We know how terrible other cities are at it, and we know how good we can be at it. And it's like the hockey team is insane. A possibility of a Major League Baseball team is insane. And now we're kind of like accepting it. Like, no, you're good enough. We're good enough. There's no imposter syndrome anymore. It shouldn't have to be. It's a really, really good time to do what we do.
How do you think Pope will do at Kentucky?
I have a really hard time just imagining that, you know, his rah-rah attitude is going to be enough to get it done. I'm not dumb enough to think that, you know, that's all he's got, because that certainly is going to help with recruiting. And obviously it's not like he doesn't understand the culture there. He does. But it just is such a hard place. You know, it's like Kalen DeBoer is a really, really good head coach. But going to Alabama football, that's a whole different story, you know. And I'm interested to see how he does. I just feel like Kentucky isn't necessarily in an amazing place, and just adding, you know, Coach Pope and saying, well, you know, fix some of our woes, which have to do with, you know, just people not staying here for very long and trying to figure out the NIL thing, which they have a ton of. He's in a really, really good spot to be able to succeed, which makes it actually maybe a little bit harder. Does that make sense? Like, just asking a guy like, hey, we're giving you the keys to the kingdom, and that means you kind of got to get it done now. That's hard, you know, and it's a little bit tough too when you're the fourth choice. Like, I mean, it doesn't really, like, you know, have a ringing endorsement of all these other guys turned it down, but we really want you. That seems hard. But, you know, Mark Pope has had mixed results, you know, kind of at the different places that he's gone, but he also seems to improve the place. So, I'm interested. I'm going to be, you know, we saw the official announcement with Colin Chandler today on Twitter with him going to Kentucky. We knew that was happening, which is a massive bummer for BYU. But then they get Kozlowski today, too. Like, I mean, it's just the wild ride of recruiting in college basketball is insane right now. And, you know, I hope Coach Pope does a good job, because I've always really loved that dude.
All right. More likely to succeed, Mark Pope in Kentucky or Zach Wilson in Denver?
Will Hardy at the Utah Jazz. Okay. No, that's tough. I mean, Zach Wilson may never see the field, right?
Yeah, like, yeah. Who's still there in 3 years? Who's more likely to still be in that job in 3 years?
Oh, geez. Yeah, Pope will. Pope will be there longer than Zach Wilson would be, not because of anything else except for so little is in the hands of Zach Wilson. Like, so much of it is out of his control. You know, at least Mark Pope can say, I'm the guy, I can make all the decisions. Zach Wilson can go in there and sling a ball off platform and, you know, wow some people. And I think people really overshoot as to what Sean Payton's going to quote unquote do with him. Oh, he's a great offensive mind. What a great quarterback coach. Is like, yeah, but they probably aren't looking for you to fix everything. You know, add him to the list of guys who, You better show it out right now, because nobody is looking at it and going, oh, Baker Mayfield's the new blueprint. That's not it. Like, the old blueprint is quarterbacks who have been kind of relative busts And that's not to say that he's not talented, because he had a crappy hand dealt to him in New York. But it still doesn't matter. The NFL kind of goes, we know what you are, and we're going to base giving you a chance off of what we saw a long time ago or 2 years ago or even from this past season. And so too much out of Zach's control for us to say, you know, that he'd be able to do it. Plus, they're going to draft another guy. Maybe he'll get a shot to get that QB1 job and beat out Jarrett Stidham for it. Heaven knows, both of those guys. It feels like a Jake Retzlaff, kind of Gary Bohannon situation, right, where you're like, ah, wow, we don't really love either of these guys right now. But we'll see what happens. And, you know, I hope Zach can at least prove something. But he still needs time to develop. Give the guy a couple of years just so we can learn a few more things instead of throwing him into the fire again.
Who has a better year next year, Zach Wilson with the Broncos or Caleb Williams and the Bears?
Zach will have a better year because he won't be criticized nearly as much. I think just in terms of on-field production, I don't even know if Zach's going to play. Like, I mean, Caleb Williams is going to be asked a lot, and I don't know if I love or hate what he did when he said, I'm going to try to win 8 titles and be the next Tom Brady. I mean, even people in Chicago are like, all right, back it off a little bit, buddy. Like, that's a little bit too much. I'd say Caleb Williams, just because he feels more like a legit overall number one pick. We were kind of going over yesterday. That 2021 class was just like this one in terms of talent at quarterback. Five quarterbacks taken in the first 15 picks of the draft. 4 of them have been traded already to another team since 2021, all just for, you know, 6th, 7th round picks, stuff like that. But the one guy who did hit was Trevor Lawrence as the number one overall pick. And I think Caleb Williams, for as much as I don't like him as a poor sport, I think he probably has all the tools to actually get it done.
Alex, good to have you back, buddy. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, man, this is all good practice for me. I got to get back to the swing of it. It's weird to take that much time off, so I'm glad to be back.
All right, we'll be listening this afternoon. Thanks,
Alex.
See you, fellas.
Alex Keery, co-host of JJ and Alex every afternoon right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Ben, same question to you. Who has a better year, fingernails in the Bears or Zach Wilson with the Donks?
You talking about the team or the player?
Player.
Caleb Williams. Caleb's better than Zach.
I don't know. Maybe we'll have to do a lunch bet on that or something.
All right.
Because if he doesn't win the job, that's...
Yeah, of course.
Because they're going
to... Zach's going to play.
Because they're just going to give Caleb the job. I don't know if Zach is going to play.
Well, they don't have anybody else, right?
But they're going to draft somebody. He could get beat out by Stidham. That's not a given.
I think he's a great sacrificial lamb for the Broncos. You start him, you play him a little bit, you draft a guy in the... You know, you draft Bo Nix in the second round, or you trade up and get Bo Nix, whatever. That's the perfect spot, right? Don't overdraft somebody in the first round, or draft Michael Penix, or whoever falls to you in the second round. I don't even know what the Broncos' picks are, because they traded a first-round pick for Russell Wilson. Whoever falls to you of these quarterbacks, take them, bet on that, throw Zach Wilson out there, let him fail for 4 weeks, 5 weeks, or if he's great, he's great. And then you found a guy for nothing. You got him for a 7th-round pick swap.
I doubt he'll be great, but I think he has the potential to be good. I might bet on Zach Wilson with that.
Why do you think he could be good?
Because of his coach.
Okay, you are doing the opposite of what Alex said.
Yeah.
You think there's a chance that they put him in such a great situation that
it makes him better.
All right.
Because what does Sean Payton like to do? Get the ball out of his hands.
Yeah.
Take 2 steps back and throw it. And you would think that any offensive line would be better than the Jets' offensive line. So he might actually have the chance to throw the ball, which could be nice. So I didn't think Teddy Bridgewater would ever be a decent quarterback again. And he turned him into a guy who could win games. Teddy was never great, but he was a guy who could win games. Jameis was a guy who could win games.
Well, I love that we can talk about the Broncos because you hate the Broncos. This is a great opportunity to talk about it.
I don't like the Bears either, though.
And I will tell you, the Zach Wilson story has been my favorite story in sports locally to talk about.
Well, you just love the mom thing.
So I Googled Zach Wilson this morning. All I did. I just Googled Zach Wilson. The very first story that pops up on SEO, which is search engine optimization, it's all the digital media matters. The only thing that matters for people that don't know what that term means. What is the first hit that pops up when you Google something? It was a Fox News article about Lisa Wilson. It's unbelievable. that continues to drive
not second pick
so
in the draft.
So much traffic. Not Broncos quarterback. Not can he be the next John Elway, Peyton Manning, like fake legacy. Can you get this guy on, you know, to turn into a superstar and win a Super Bowl there? It's about Lisa. It's hilarious that she still drives traffic that well. But it's just hilarious. The New York media is hilarious. Jets fans are hilarious. So the Zach Wilson thing has been so funny to watch. And then to have the local angle of it with some BYU diehards who think that everyone is wronging Zach Wilson. The truth that they were wronging Zach Wilson. That for some reason they thought sprinkling in not just Aaron Rodgers, but Aaron Rodgers and Hard Knocks into the mix was going to be a good decision. Only to have Aaron Rodgers tear his Achilles 4 seconds into the game of his career in New York to have to bring back Zach Wilson after the entire Hard Knocks was like, finally got that bozo out of here.
Just crapping on Zach Wilson.
Finally, we got a real quarterback back there.
But listen.
It's been a great story to cover. So now the fact that we actually get to bring him to our closest team geographically is even better.
Okay, but see, this is what I love about this job. You sit in this seat long enough, you see everything repeat itself. I've already been through this with Alex Smith. And Alex Smith turned out to be a good quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
High draft pick. Mm-hmm. New offensive coordinator every single year. San Francisco hated him. They thought he sucked.
Yep.
And then Jim Harbaugh benched him using a concussion as an excuse, which I find disgusting.
Yep.
But for Colin Kaepernick, who didn't turn out to be a guy.
I mean, he got to the Super Bowl, but okay.
I think Alex Smith could have gone to the Super Bowl with that team. He's the one who was the quarterback of that team for the majority of the year.
Sure.
But neither here nor there.
Right.
He gets himself to a better spot for him with a coach that is better for him, who runs a better system for him, and all of a sudden he turns into a decent quarterback. Not an all-pro, not a Hall of Famer, didn't get Kansas City over the hump, but turned out to be a pretty good quarterback. I've seen it.
Yeah, absolutely. No. And
by the way, on the other side, it was Cougar fans here locally that were going, that guy sucks. Yeah. It's not about the coordinators. He's just a bum. I've seen it. He can't play. Yeah. And he goes and plays for Andy Reid, and all of a sudden the same Cougar fans are like, I kind of like that Alex Smith. He's a pretty good player. Go, Alex. Go get him, Alex.
And even though his career ended as a result, and I actually, one of the most incredible things is that he ever came back and took a snap after that leg injury. But he was also there to be the placeholder until the next guy took over. Now, it just so happened that the next guy is in the conversation already for maybe being the greatest ever at that position. But he was there to be there until Pat Mahomes or whoever the next in line was ready to take over, and that might be the same thing for Zach Wilson. So it is hilarious how similar those two things are. The difference being?
Alex was in San Francisco longer.
And can Sean Payton be as good as Andy Reid was?
Was for. Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. We've seen it. The shoe was on the other foot.
Oh, and it's
15 years ago.
Nearly identical.
And it's like the same thing.
It's nearly identical.
And San Francisco was a terrible. You know, one of his head coaches was Mike Singletary. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. And you're right. He had a new coordinator every year. Exactly what has happened for Zach Wilson.
Yep.
Had some injuries mixed in here and there. Not as bad as what Zach Wilson has dealt with, but yeah.
Similar.
Very similar.
Nate Hackett was his offensive coordinator last year.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Maybe Zach doesn't have the career that Alex did because Alex ended up having a good career. That is certainly a possibility. But I'm intrigued to see him in a different situation. I really am.
It was my favorite story since 2020. I mean, watching BYU's near undefeated season, sans Coastal Carolina. And then this just continues it. Yeah. I mean, this just new lifeblood. I love this.
Sorry, Sarah. We're way over. Stay tuned. We'll have more next. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
The sports you love. The teams you can't live without.
Get a sense of urgency!
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This segment is brought to you by Peach Doors and Windows, Utah's premier door and window retailer, combining beauty and technology in doors and windows since 1993. Call them today for an in-home estimate, 801-566-1255, Peach Doors and Windows. It is Jake and Ben wrapping up Tuesday show? I'm getting more used to the days being kind of on track now that Jazz season is over. Although, Ben, as you pointed out, was it yesterday or maybe it was last week, that feels like a million years has passed since the Jazz season ended.
Yeah, I'll be curious what this next little bit looks like. They had bad luck yesterday.
Oh, yeah, they lost the coin flip.
They lost the coin flip. Now, they fell from the 28th pick in the draft to the 29th pick in the draft. It's ultimately where it really does not matter a whole lot, you know. And those picks, I suspect, at least one of the two picks that's going to be 32nd, which is the pick they got from the Pistons, which ironically is the Wizards pick, and the pick that they got from the Pacers or the Raptors, which is the Oklahoma City Thunder pick, they're not going to make both of those, I don't think. They will either package them together to move up or sell them or trade them for a future draft pick of some type. That's what I expect to happen for the Jazz in that pick. So falling from 28 to 29 is not a big deal. But I did go back and look through the last 15 years of Jazz coin toss tiebreakers. The Jazz have never outright won a tiebreaker on a coin toss.
Never?
No, they've had a couple of four-way ties where they ended up getting second of the four, which in that case you did win, but you never won the ultimate. You never went number one overall. Mm. And it's like eight times in a row. Like, flip a coin eight times in a row and get heads eight times in a row is not going to happen. So the fact that this has happened for the Jazz on all these 50-50 draws that they keep losing is kind of hilarious. It's not good. And the most important one was 2012, I think it was, where it wasn't even their coin toss. It was the Raptors and the Warriors. And if the Raptors had won, they would have had the seventh pick, and the Warriors would have had the eighth pick, and the pick that they owed to the Jazz in the Richard Jefferson, et cetera trade was top seven protected. So if they had fallen to eighth, the Jazz would have gotten the eighth overall pick of the draft. It goes at seven. And
you know what's funny slash depressing about that? Like, the odds of losing eight coin flips in a row is like one in a zillion.
Yeah.
But your odds of winning the ninth one are no better.
Still 50-50.
Are still 50-50. So you think about it that way, like you'd think, okay, we've lost eight in a row. Our odds of winning one now has got to be much better because the odds of that happening are already... But no. The odds are the same. So it doesn't really...
The odds of not like, and I don't know if it's exactly, it might be six or whatever, but if it was eight, like it kind of has been over the last 15 years, the odds of losing eight in a row is 0.003.
Yeah.
A third of a thousand, 0.003%. So like when we talk about, hey, the odds of moving up in the draft are only 26% chance to move up into the top four. It's like, it's better than losing eight coin tosses in a row.
And the odds of it continuing? 50-50.
50-50. Your next one, just as likely to lose as you are to win.
All right, Hans and Scotty G are coming up next. Stay tuned, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.